Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of NATCO Pharma Limited, hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Randeria from Nuvama Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Randeria.
Thank you, Michelle, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Group, I welcome you all for NATCO Pharma's Q4 FY23 earnings call. With us, we have NATCO Pharma senior management team, represented by Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences. Over to you, Rajesh, for opening remarks.
Right. Thank you, Kunal. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to NATCO's conference call discussing our earnings results for the fourth quarter and the full year of FY23, which ended on March 31st, 2023. During this call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements or statements about future events, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I'd like to state that the material of the call, except for the participant questions, is the property of NATCO, cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without NATCO's expressed written permission. We'll begin with the results highlight and then follow up with an interactive Q&A session. As always, hope you have received our financials and press release that was sent out earlier. This is also available on our website. NATCO has recorded consolidated total revenue of 2,811.7 crores for the year ended on March 31st, 2023, as against 2,043.8 crores for the last year, reflecting roughly around 37.6% growth. Net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 715.3 crores as against 170 crores for the last year. The increase in revenue and profits for the year was driven by business growth in the U.S. market and growth in Canada and Brazil, where we have our subsidiaries. Our crop health division started off well and with strong potential growth for coming years. For the fourth quarter, which ended 31st March 2023, the company recorded a net revenue of 926.9 crores on a consolidated basis as against 610.6 crores during Q4 of last year. Profit for the fourth quarter on a consolidated basis was 275.8 crores as against a loss of 50.5 crores in the last quarter prior year. We have shared the segmental split in our press notes. I will not reiterate the numbers, but we will take the Q&A from now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the first question from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and good morning, everyone. Sir, my question is on domestic business. You know, we have seen pressures in FY23, but how many product launches we have done in FY23 for the full year, mainly in the cardiac and diabetes segment, if you can throw some light? And for FY24 and 25, how should we look at the total domestic business? Will it be still under pressure and be like a flattish growth, or we might see some sort of growth coming in? That is my first question.
Domestic is doing well. As of this year, I think the numbers obviously are a little lower than last year. We had a one-time return of one particular COVID product, so that's the reason why. We have a run rate of about 100 crores per quarter in that business. I know it's not grown. I mean, we're looking at different things that we could do. One is an acquisition mode. We've been talking about that. I think we are looking at those assets, and also I think organically as well. We have about 10 to 15 launches a year. In terms of how many products we launched last year, we launched total about 11 products last year. And I think does that address all your questions?
Yeah, so 24 and in 24 we will be able to see growth, right, on FY23.
I think so. I certainly think so. I believe that we should grow at about 8 to 10%, and I think because we have cash on books, we are looking at some strategic opportunities. Hopefully, if we do a small acquisition, you know, we can. I think we are internally targeting acquisition plus organic growth. I think we should compound that business around 20-25% a year. I think that is the internal target, and I think we're working on that target. Yes.
Okay. So, on API business, are we using it more for the captive consumption, or that, you know, our business has only dropped, and how should we look forward for the API segment? And my last question is that whether the buyback effect has already come in, or it will be coming in FY24 balance sheet.
Okay, so let me answer that question. API business has degrown slightly, but this year I think it should do well. An internal projection is that business should grow around 20-25% this year. Second question you had was on the buyback, correct?
Yeah.
So buyback, I think a lot of the buyback has happened in the April-May month. So we have closed the buyback. So we have bought back almost 35 lakh shares. So our equity was 18.25 crores. Now it's dropped to 17.91 crores. So 2% of our equity, nearly 2% of our equity has been bought back. And it has happened in the April to June quarter.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from us.
Thank you. Next question. We have the next question from the line of Atharva Buddhada from Purnartha. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity to ask you this question. So after Revlimid, when Revlimid sales slow down or there is heavy price erosion, how would the company look forward to increase the international sales?
We have multiple pronged strategy on international business. One is, I think we have subs, which we didn't have, which gave substantial amount of revenue. And I think look at this year's balance sheet. Our subs have contributed nearly 555 crores of revenue. If you net off the sub transfer, the actual sale is 375. But if you look at the front-end sale that we had about 555 crores. And the major highlights are Canada has done almost 40 million Canadian. Brazil, I think, has done about 20 million odd. So I think the subs are doing extremely well. The future of the business is the subs. As you've seen in our press release, I think we're setting up a sub now in Colombia, and a few weeks ago we announced we're setting up a sub in Indonesia, and we're also looking to buy an asset in the UK. So I think that's the strategy that we're doing on the international business. We're trying to globalize and use the R&D pipeline that we have to extend multiple number of markets so that we can extend the base business. And we have very good filings that we have done in the last few months. It's very hard to get, sole FTFs and all. As you know, it's a very competitive business. But I think we've pulled off Olaparib, Lenpraza first to file. It's a joint venture with Alembic. Another good filing we have is the Ozempic filing with Mylan on semaglutide. That's a diabetes product which is doing extremely well. Some of the strengths are shared for FTF, but one particular strength, we are sole FTF. So that's another very good one. So in the last 12 months, we have delivered 2 sole FTFs, which is very interesting. So I think the way this business works is honestly, you got to plug it along and build a global business and keep trying different things. And, you know, over the next, and we're spending very aggressively on R&D. We look at the cash that we have generated. I think we've spent a lot of it on R&D. Our raw material consumption is high. Our other expenses on bio studies and clinicals are high. And so we're putting, you know, whatever surplus we have back in R&D, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to strengthen our pipeline. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I have two more questions. One was regarding that.
One more, my friend, because I give everybody a chance. So, yeah, one last.
Can you speak up, please?
You're speaking softly. Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah. Okay. So I had a question on Dash. So you bought Dash. So I just wanted to understand how are you going to scale it up in, like, on the sales force in the U.S.?
Dash is, you know, our U.S. front-end setup. Dash, right now, what we're doing now is whatever pipeline of ANDAs that we have, which have been dormant in our pipeline. So as you know, a lot of our old strategy was, you know, doing partnerships. So some of the older ANDAs, which we are not active, we'll use Dash to relaunch those products. So I think the sub should, I mean, right now it's not making money, but I think we believe in the next 1-2 years, you'll see the benefit of our own front-end. And some of our products, you know, will go through the subsidiary. I mean, some complex generics we're doing through partnership, but, you know, we're going to do a mix. I think some will keep with our own sub and some we're launching through partnerships. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next caller, please.
Yes, sir. We have the next question from the line of Anuj Momaya from Ideal Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity. So, first question is on the, what is the inventory scenario in the agrochemical business?
Agrochemical specific inventory. I think we've not liquidated a lot of the inventory. We sold about 40 crores last year. So, as of now, to be precise on what's our inventory on agro, it will be about 100 crores change. I don't remember exactly on the dot. Yeah, it's in that region, 100-110 region.
But we are confident.
As you know, agro sale happens only in June and September quarter. It's the tarif, which is about 75 to 80. I think so. Yeah, we are right. We believe that we'll be able to liquidate. The traction is very good. I think we got the approval very late, and by the time we could, you know, set up the whole sales channel and all, you know, we didn't have a chance to exploit the opportunities that that we could have. Now that I think everything is clear, we have set up everything. We are present in all the major states, and all the sales is channels are well oiled. So I think we should do well, and I think a lot of that inventory you will see will go away in the next few months. Yeah. But you have to remember, like, because the sale, and by March, the inventory will be high, but a lot of the 70 to 80% sale happens between June and July. So you need to stock up at March and then it gets liquidated between June and July. Okay? That's the nature of the business.
Yeah. My second question is on Revlimid. So we had, I think, a step up in the market share in the year two. So this quarter is the only supply that you have booked, or even the profit share has been accounted for? Or we'll see the profit coming in the next quarter?
We have booked the supply, and I think we also booked we had to pay a raw material supplier a little bit, so as part of a pre-agreed agreement. So that is booked in the raw material. We have not sold all the quantity. I think we have sold about quarter of what we got allocated so far. So we still have 75% left, I think, around that, in that region. So I think we'll sell it off, I think, in the next couple of quarters, June and
December. We'll be recognizing the profit share along with that.
Yes, absolutely correct. Yes, yeah. I think, but we have a lot of it still left. So I think, I think we should do well in June, and I think some spill in September. I think that's our expectation.
Thank you. I have further questions. I'll come back.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ritika Agarwal from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is on gross margins. So this quarter, we've seen a significant gross margin decline QOQ as well as YOY. Any major reason for this?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so I think as the gentleman asked me earlier, so there was a one-time 50 crore charge to our, we had to pay our supplier for the success of our first file. So so I think that was pre-agreed in the contract. So that is reflected in the consumption. And additional 40-50 crores, I mean, we had a lot of R&D and bio studies that we have spent. And then we had some, you know, regular stock write-off and all. So I think it's just par for the course. I mean, then.
So this one-time 50 crore charge was for Revlimid is what you alluded to.
Correct. Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Secondly, I think the cash flow, we see some intangible asset purchase of 50 crores. What would that be?
Intangible assets is about 50. That is the goodwill on the acquisition of Dash.
Okay. Sure. And lastly, what would be the net cash on our balance sheet currently?
As of March 31st, 2023, the cash is 1,089 crores.
Okay. So,
and we have borrowing of about 165 crores, of which about 95 crores is foreign bill discounting. And so 165 minus 95, so 70 crores is the actual bank borrow. Okay.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Next caller.
The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question. Raju, just following up on the previous question about the expenses, even if we account for the 50 crore one-off you talked about in the raw material costs, I mean, versus our historical numbers, and the raw material is a little on the lower side. The raw material consumption is a little on the higher side. So anything else that you want to just highlight, given the fact this is such a large component of U.S. sales in this number?
No, I think, see, there are two, three things, Nitin. I think what we're doing is, I get to ask this question even the last call as well. So I think the question that NATCO is facing is, what do we do with our surplus, right? And I think I have decided that I'll use a surplus for spending money on bio studies and new exhibit batches. I think because of the strength of the balance sheet, we're using this money for, strengthening our pipeline. And I think as a few minutes ago, I told the other caller as well, that we delivered two, interesting FTFs. So I think this is where you have to spend your money on. And I think a lot of the money is geared towards exhibit batches and bio studies. I think that's where we're spending our money.
So how much did we spend on R&D this year on the revenue front, and how much would be for the quarter, if you can give those numbers?
I think, there are two, three ways. Generally, about R&D is about 7 to 8%, and the exhibit batches and all are reflected in the consumption and other expenses.
So 7 to 8% of the revenues we booked this year as R&D.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
These are on these elevated R&D revenue numbers.
Yeah, on the higher revenue number, no?
Yeah, so I think we had about a 2,700 crores revenue. So, but 200 odd crores is what we spent on R&D this year.
I think, just let me get my number here. Just give me one second. I think 8% of our revenue is what we have spent on R&D. Yeah, as of this year.
Okay, thanks. And secondly, on the crop protection, barring the inventory liquidation that you will do on CTPR, any more color on how do we see this business over the next 2-3 years?
I think the business should do well. I think we just got started. I think we did only 40 crores last year. But this year, I think our projection is that we should do about 150 plus. I think we're targeting 200, but I think 150 plus, I think conservatively, is what we're looking at. We have other product ideas. And I think a lot of these filings are being done this year. And I think this year will be the year of CTPR. I think the full value of CTPR, I think, we'll be able to realize in this financial year. And the subsequent years, we have a pipeline. I think we are hoping that this business grows to about 10% of our sales. I think that's the stated goal in time.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back later.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, with regards to our base business, which you have been mentioning in the past few calls that it is generating a PAT of around 40-50 crores on a quarterly basis, how was that number in this year, and could you quantify the total number for the full year last year?
I think that's a fair estimation. I think it's the same number. I don't think any different. I mean, I think it's in the same range.
Okay. And how do you see this base business, which is basically ex-Revlimid, I think, everything else, how do you see this business growing over the next 2-3 years?
I think that's what we are trying to talk about. I think what we are trying to do is spend money on R&D so that we can strengthen our subs, and hopefully that business takes off and then that can strengthen our base business. So we are spending our money on doing more filings. I think, for example, our stated goal is US we have to file 8 to 10. Canada we need to file about 8 to 10. And then Brazil we need to file 8 to 10, which are the three key markets. And in addition to that, we had to launch about 10 products in India. I think that's a stated goal. In terms of where do we see this growth coming from, we personally believe, I think once you strengthen this business and build a pipeline, including a combination of both FTFs and the base business, I think we've mentioned about two FTFs that we have achieved in the last 12 months. I think we target similarly another. I think the key here is you build a strong pipeline in multiple markets, and then you target about 8 to 10 FTFs or niche or hard to do generics, and then and somewhere in that I think you will get some success, and I think that's the strategy.
So also in this base business, do you expect any products wherein profits can further fall because of price decline or competition?
Which product you're talking about?
Not any
the base business, you're saying?
Yeah, because this base business, I mean the business as a whole used to generate 400, minimum 400 crores of profits in a 5-year time period. Continuously it has done that, but now it is probably down to 200 crores. So now can it further go down is what in the immediate future?
I don't think so. I think if you look at it, we have we've built a sub business. The subs are doing about 20-25 crores of quarter, and I think that has done well. I see another big change is the agros. The agros losing about 45-50 crores a year, so we won't lose 45-50 crores this year because the launch is there and the full year advantage is there. And so these are major changes, and then domestic, in combination with acquisition and growth of 10%, I think we should be able to see some positive cash flow. So the objective is that we build this business back to about 100 crores type of PAT minus the bigger products. So I think that's the objective, and we have the pipeline, we have the filings. I think we are confident that we'll be able to pull this off in the next few months.
Sure. With regards to the acquisition, you mentioned that with the acquisition, growth in the domestic business can be 20-25%. So are we targeting just a 50-60 crore kind of acquisition? Isn't that too small?
If you look at different acquisitions, we've not closed anything, so I can't really comment specifically on a particular transaction. I think that's the objective. I think yes, we're looking at such transactions. Yes.
One small question on the subsidiary side. In this quarter, if we just deduct standalone numbers from the console numbers, so the EBITDA for subsidiaries coming around 11 crores. So is there it has declined a lot. Is that understanding correct? And what is the reason if that's so?
I don't think the EBITDA is 11 crores for the subsidiaries. That's not. So if I can read my numbers in my sheet here. The profit of the subs for Q4 is 28.97 crores.
You are talking about EBITDA?
Yeah, this is PBT was. PBT.
Okay.
If you're offline, you can speak with IR and get a clarification.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. Next call.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishita Jain from Ashika Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. What was the percentage R&D spend in FY23, and what is your guidance for the next 2 to 3 years?
I think last year was about 8%, and I think we believe we should spend, I want to spend about 10% this year. I think that's our guidance.
Got it. And what is the timeline on semaglutide? Is this an FTF? And if we're going to do semaglutide, are we also looking at Wegovy and Rybalsus?
We're looking at everything, but as of now, I don't want to speak about that. I think I can only speak about the one that we have filed. Timeline, I can't give. It all depends on the patent litigation, so I can't answer that question at this time.
Understood. And just one last, you mentioned that there is one product that is not partnered and we're going solo on it. Are you disclosing what product that is and its timeline, if any?
I don't know which one I'm talking about. Generally, I'm saying some products we are going solo and some we are not partnered, but as a general strategy, I've answered, not specifically one particular product. If you have seen our investor presentation in our Paragraph 4, I'll give an example. Like LawnServ, we're litigating, it's a shared FTF, it's with us. We have first to file on Zydelic, Adelacep, we have sole FTF, and which is we're doing it ourselves. So these are examples where we're doing it ourselves. So it all depends on the product, because some of them are already partnered in the past. So, you know, those are all contractually obligated. So the newer ones, we're doing a mix of direct and partnership.
Got it. So in these direct ones, we are expecting to set up front end. This is mostly for regulated market, right?
Yeah, you know, but the front end is already there. No, I think we spoke about Dash Pharmaceuticals. I think that's the front end.
Right. Understood. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of N.K. Arora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for a good set of numbers. I just wanted to know, sir, what would be the likely percentage growth in revenue and profits for the next financial year?
Thank you, Mr. I think we should do well, Mr. Arora. I think we'll have very good growth this year. How much and all, I don't want to say it at the beginning of the year, because I think once the year progresses and maybe in the next call I'll give some, we can get some clarity on how this year. But I think very clearly it will do much better than this year. What percentage growth, I don't want to say anything right now. I want to reserve that comment for now. But it will do well. I think we'll do extremely well. I think that's our expectation because of, our launches in the U.S., and also because the agro has turned around, and I think with the stabilization of our subs and also our domestic also should be stable. I think all these factors will contribute, and I think we should do well.
Thank you so much.
Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ahmed Madha from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just I wanted to understand that this year for the sub we did 550 crore top line. So last year FY22, how much was that number?
Give me one second. I need to look at my papers. Give me one second, yeah?
Net off is 375.
I think gross is 555 crores and 375 is the net, because you have to deduct the sale that you sent from India to the sub.
Okay.
And last year, if I may, give me a moment. I only have the net number. It's 181 crores.
181, okay, fine. Got it. And the second question is on the nature of the 50 crore charge which we took. So can you explain in detail, I mean, little more clarity, what was the 50 crore charge for?
50 crore charge is that what we pay the raw material supplier for enable. So we said that if we get success in our product, we will share a certain amount of money with them. I think as part of the pre-agreed agreement, we paid them that 50 crores to our API supplier. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Fine. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
The next question is from the line of Cinderella Carvalho from GM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So coming back to the guidance part, you're saying you might take some time more for us to come up with a growth guidance. However, just to confirm, the volume share increase has been already taken for Revlimid, and that will meaningfully play out in the first and the second quarter. Is that correct understanding, Rajan?
That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
Okay, and any color on the U.S. Environment that you would want to provide, excluding the generic Revlimid part?
I'll give you a general perspective, Cinderella. I think what you need to understand is you cannot ignore U.S. U.S. is 50% of the U.S. Generic business. And I think any company which is operating in this space has to be present in the U.S. Regarding the challenges in the U.S., I mean, you're going to have some good years, you're going to have some bad years. And I think you need to be present and you need to be in the game. And I think that's when you get your opportunities. And the real value in the U.S. is when you do hard-to-do generics or niche generics. And I think that's always been the position of NATCO, and I think that's where you get the upside. And that's how you have to, that's how you do this business. And I think you have to be present. You have to have a basic portfolio. You need to have a pipeline. And somewhere you'll get a hit somewhere. And I think what you just have to, it's a waiting game. You just have to be patient and you have to be, and you just have to wait. And somewhere in your pipeline, you'll get a hit. What that hit is and all, I mean, you know, I can only make an educated guess and I can speak about it in a call, but what will come through, it nobody knows. But I think it's a, still a good business and I think you can't discount that away. Yeah.
Okay. I was asking more from a pricing environment.
Pricing environment, you know, comparative, in a way I've answered your question. I'll let me rephrase that in a way that hopefully you can understand what I'm saying. In a multi-generic source, there's no money. It's the honest truth. And I think there's, that's the way it is and that's the nature of the beast. What I'm trying to say is that you have to be present in the business and there's always opportunities where somebody else doesn't turn up and then suddenly you get an upside. Or you do a niche or hard to do generics, there's money to be made. The environment is what it is. I mean, you can't change it. And I think we have spoken many times about this, that the consolidation of the buyers, the number of Indian suppliers that are there, it's a very competitive business, but you need to find a sweet spot. And I think that's the trick in the business. Yeah.
And on the subsidiary side, on the Canada and Brazil, and would you like to help us understand how should we look at FY24 and 25? Number of launches, anything improving there in terms of profitability? How do you see these subs performing?
I think the subs have done well, and I think we're very happy how they've done. I think we expect that this business will grow around 15% to 20% the coming year. I think we've spoken about the numbers. I think we did about 40 million in the front end in Canada, Canadian. I think 20, 21 million in Brazil, I think. So I think that should grow around 15-20%.
And our four launches in these subs, how are they performing? Have we able to get approval for all the core launches or we are still awaiting some key approvals?
Which sub, miss? I'm sorry.
Canada and China also.
I think we have a steady pipeline. I think we file about 7 to 8 products. I think, you know, we do litigation, so I can't specifically tell you which product, when and all. I think top of my head, I can't answer that question. But I think we are expecting that will grow around 15% to 20%. I think that I can answer that much. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. I have more questions. I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rusmik Oza from 9 Rays Equi Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just to correct myself, we've sold around 25% of our allocated share of Revlimid and 75% is still pending. Is it right?
Absolutely correct, yes.
And can you give a little bit of understanding out of the 75, how much could come in June quarter and how much could come in September quarter?
I think a lot of it will come in June and I think some of it will come in September.
Okay.
I think a lot of it will be captured in June and the September quarters. I think that's our expectation.
Okay. And sir, has more players entered this space, you know, from year till Jan 25 or maybe FY25-26, any color on what kind of market share you want to, you know, retain or gain in this Revlimid product?
It all depends on how the market plays out. You can aspire for something, but you know, how the market plays out. I can't predict the pricing environment a few years down the line. I can't answer that question. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes. Please proceed.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Sir, in the answer to earlier participant question on your base business, you mentioned that the target is to get to from the current profitability of about 40-50 crores of butter to about 100 crores. What is the broad timeline that you're thinking on this? I mean, is it in the next two quarters or like how are you thinking about this?
I think it'll take time. I think our view is that, you know, the agro should do well. I think that is. So I can only tell you, I mean, when and all, you know, it's very difficult to answer such questions. But I think what I can tell you is the agro should do well. I mean, I can tell you what factors will get you that number. I think agro should do 150, 200 crores. Our domestic has to grow around 15-20%. Our subs have to grow around 15-20%. See, when you say building a base business, then you need to have the whole base grow and your multiple country strategy should work. So I think you just have to keep watching. I think I expect in the next 1.5 years, 2 years, I think that's the aspiration. I think based on these assumptions.
Yeah. Sure. And just like slightly longer term in terms of, obviously our strategy is to sort of go for some moonshots and done very well in the last decade or so in that regard. Moving ahead, I don't know how much you can share, but as you go beyond 2025, 2026 calendar year, how do you see, if you can talk some of the opportunities. You were quite bullish on the pipeline in the last two calls. So if you can talk a bit about that, whatever you can share, that would be really helpful to think about what can be the next big evolution for NATCO beyond government.
I think we spoke about that. I gave examples of semaglutide. I gave example of olaparib. See, I think you need to understand. I think our company has this innate ability to identify good opportunities and deliver. And I think we've done that successfully in the last decade. And we reached a stage if we did with the pipeline. The problem with these doing these hard-to-do generics, complex generics, which are linked with litigation, is you can't give timelines that this launch will happen at this particular date and this particular time, because a lot of factors that play a role, So I think what I can do is objective internally is that we should file 7 or 8 or 10 of these, and hopefully you get 3 or 4 right. I think you're set. I'll challenge you the other way. I think you can't tell the timing, but if you get it right, you'll do well. I think that's how you have to look at this. And if you look at the competitive nature of the generic business, you need to understand that you have to deliver these niches, and that's where you get the kick in the earnings. Otherwise, you won't. To say that, people keep asking me on base business growth and all. Base business will only get you it'll be very, meager earnings. It's not going to change the needle dramatically. And I think that is important. I'm not saying it's not important. But you also need to deliver the niches. And if you don't deliver the niches, you'll never get that growth. And I think that's where we're good at. And I think that's what our focus is on. And we need to balance, of course, the base. But when you do a product where there are like 15 generics, how much money can you truly make? You can't really make much money. And the same impact everybody is having in our business today. I think because of the high base effect, even if you get 10 or 20 of these launches where you're in hyper-competitive market, it's hard to do well. You need to deliver something special as well. And I think you need to balance it out. And I think you need to look at the business in two ways. You got to have your niches and your hard-to-do generics that you need to deliver, and also you need to build a base. I think you got to judge the company on both. I think that's how I look at the business.
Sure. So very helpful, and all the questions have been very clear on your strategy. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. I have a question about R&D. You said 10% of sales. So it would be like almost this year, 8% would be around 200 plus. Then you expect it would be 350 crore plus R&D next year?
I think it depends on how we do well. But I think I want to spend more than 300 crores. I think that's the objective. I want to spend 50% more than what I did last year. But I think it all depends on cash flow. See, I measure the R&D based on the cash flow we have, right? I think we have good cash flow, we spend more. If you have less cash flow, then you kind of, spend less and then try to do more partnerships. So I think it's all a function of cash flow, my friend.
Got it. Any about Revlimid again, you said you sold 25%. So that you supplied or that is booked profit by the partner?
It's the sale that was booked by our partner.
Got it. That's it from my end. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Rajeev, on the R&D, now the R&D spends that we are taking are almost all of them towards the US, or there is a considerable amount you're looking to spend now towards the non-US markets also?
No, I think we're spending in all the major markets, Nitin. I'll give an example of what I'm trying to do, and I think you'll get a feel of what we're trying to attempt. So let's say we're doing this one particular oncology product. I don't want to reveal the name, but to give you an idea of what we're trying to do. So the bio study for this will cost you about, let's say, $2 million. So if you want to do a bio study for Canada, it's $2 million. You want to do a bio study for Brazil, it's $2 million. You want to do a bio study for Europe, it's $2 million. So 2 plus 2 plus 2, $6 million. One product, I'm spending $6 million. The reason I'm doing that is because I believe this is a very niche, smart product, and I think our expectation is when the launch happens, we will, we'll do well with it. Will I be right? I don't know. But these are the gambles that we're trying to make. So if you're spending $6 million on one product, and you identify 5 products, and which are difficult to do, then suddenly you're down 20, 25 million of your R&D money on this. But I think, again, it comes back to the original question, Nitin. What do you want to spend your money on? Do you want to spend on a simpler ANDA where you know for sure there are going to be 15 people? Or do you want to spend on an ANDA where you know for sure there will be only 2 or 3 guys, but the entry barrier is higher? I'm choosing the latter as opposed to the former. I think, will I be right? My sense is I'll be right because, again, you can always argue that there's volatility in the earnings. But I believe the real value in the business is here. And I think if you do it well spread over multiple geographies, I think you will get a very consistent set of earnings. I think that's what I personally believe. And I think and you have to chart your own course. And I think it's very important that you don't spend money on things where you believe that there's going to be a lot of competition, because in the end, what is the point of spending money on something that's not going to make too much money, right? So, I mean, you can always have the basket strategy and all. I think we can always play that argument. But I think the value in the business doesn't come from basket. I completely, a basic basket is required, of course, when you go to customers. And it is absolutely understood. But the real value in the business is doing the hard generics. It's not in the me too. I know it's a little different from conventional wisdom, but I strongly believe there's no, I think you'll never get a bump on your earnings if you do that.
No, that's incredible. And secondly, just on that, that you mentioned that you're looking to do 10 filings in US, 10 in Brazil, and in Canada. So I presume there'll be a significant overlap in these products, right, typically?
I think that's where the synergy comes from, Nitin. So you spend, let's say, $3 million, $4 million on the exhibit batch, and you spend $2 million, $2 million, $2 million on the bio study. So suddenly you're spending $10 million, but you're getting 3 markets. And each of these countries requires you to do the, with the local R&D. So I think that's the challenge. So I think that's how you do this.
And lastly, on, in terms of your filings or rather possible launches over the next maybe 2 to 3 years, what is the visibility in terms of incremental launches which could be, say, $10, $20 million plus launches which can happen? How many such launches we can do over the next... Because you have visibility on, so over the next 3 years or so?
Some we do and some we don't. I mean, the smaller launches, we have a settlement on Tracleer, which is, I don't remember the sale of the product. It's below 50 million type of product. And then we have a settlement on an Idalisib, which is also below that size. So I think you need to have a pipeline of these. And I think we'll update our investor presentation list of these filings. But these, we can't discuss the pipeline, the time of the launch because of bound by confidentiality. But I think we'll disclose it in our presentation. But will that move the needle, Nitin? Yeah, a little bit, but not enough to cause a disruption in the earnings. I think our base has become so large that a $10 million doesn't make too much difference. Yeah, so you need to have a whole pipeline of these ideas. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's this last one. On the base products which are there in the US, X of Revlimid, have you seen any change in the dynamics, any improvement or in the competitive dynamics on the existing products except Revlimid in the US?
I think the products where you are niche and all, they're doing well, Nitin. I think where there's a limited amount of competition, I think you're doing well. Products where you have multiple generics, there's enough competition from India. People say the pricing environment has changed and all. I'm not a big believer in it. I think somewhere in one product and here and there you'll see. But overall, in a multi-generic environment, you can't make money with it. it's occasionally you'll get one hit here or there. It's a mathematical possibility, but I personally don't believe it. I know it's contrary to everybody, what everybody says on the street. I do not believe that you can make money on these products. You will have it as a basket, maybe pay for the factory overhead or something like that, but these are not disruptive or great products where you can stand to make money. I disagree with that position.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of P.D. Gupta from Investors Forum. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Are you hearing me, sir?
Yes, Mr. Gupta. Go ahead.
Good morning to everybody and for the given opportunity. So now very specifically I want to know what is the contribution of revenue in our top line as well as bottom line for the quarter and year ending March 23?
I will not answer that question, Mr. Gupta. I don't want to answer because it's competitive information. I don't want to answer that question.
Not available, sir. Can I try to get it on the phone?
No, my friend, I'm not going to answer. I think a lot of times they will ask. He's just giving away, it's just competitive information. I don't want to answer that question.
No idea, sir. Okay, one more thing, sir. Actually, other companies are also entering U.S. in Revlimid recently. I was going through a detailed report on Revlimid in U.S. and I got one information in that during the calendar year, not financial year, calendar year 2025, the contribution of our Natco Pharma will be around $1.1 billion. Is it correct? Calendar year.
I don't know. I don't want to judge pricing situations on that particular. I can't answer that question, Muktaji. Sorry, I can't.
Is it possible?
I don't want to answer that question. You're asking me to predict what happens in the future, which I refuse to do that. I'm sorry, sir. I can't answer that question.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you
for that.
The next question is from the line of Rajat Sethia from i.pms. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity once again. So, sir, with regards to Revlimid, were we able to sell our allocated volumes in the first 12 months?
Last year's quantity you're saying or this year's quantity you're saying?
The first 12 month cycle that began.
That's all done.
So, we were able to sell completely whatever we were allocated, right?
What was allocated last year, it's done and dusted. What we're selling now is this year's allocation.
Okay, and for this year, do you expect the volumes to be, is it safe to assume the volumes can be 2x of the last year?
It will be better than last year and our earnings hopefully will be better as well. It all depends on the pricing, yeah, but I think so. We should do better.
Okay, in terms of volumes, we know where we are going to end, which is probably 1/3 of the overall market, and we started with somewhere mid-single digits. So going by that, is it not safe to assume that we'll be doing 2x of the volumes, 2x volumes of the last year?
I can't answer that question, my friend. I can't answer it. I can't give any guidance. Sorry.
With regards to booking the manufacturing sales in Revlimid, so did we do that in Q4 or did we do that in Q3?
We already booked the manufacturing in the last financial year. Manufacturing and the raw material
For the second year, did you do that in Q4 or Q3? Second year of revenue.
I think we did part in Q3. I don't remember exactly. We did some in Q3 and some in Q4. I mean, Q4 obviously the expense was booked, but I can't recollect my friend. But it's somewhere in between.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Cinderella Carvalho from GM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
So, just wanted to understand, initially we were looking to do some acquisition in domestic market, while now you're saying that you want to invest more in the R&D side globally. So, is there any change in any thought process?
No, I'm saying both, Cinderella. I'm not saying only R&D. I'm spending money looking at acquisition and also looking at R&D, both. I've never said that. it's not all.
And is there any update on the local, I mean, domestic side? Are we looking at any of the brands? Is there anything?
We're looking at different transactions. Hopefully, we'll be able to get something. I think as of now, nothing.
And the idea again remains around 150 to 200 crore kind of piece that we are looking at in terms of acquisition, domestic, the size?
We're looking at different transactions. I don't want to answer that question directly. I think we're looking at different sizes. I think we'll come back once we consummate something. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for my question. Sir, I just have one question on the Revlimid. Revlimid, what is the pricing scenario versus last year and this year? That you already have booked 25% of profit, so might be you of it about that.
It's doing well, my friend. I think I can't answer that question directly, but we are happy with things. I think things are okay. And I think we should do well.
Got it. And the, again, following the last participant questions, I think Huawei's, as you said, that the competition increasing, I think most of the players are looking on the specialty or the complex products. So do you think so that the still the opportunities are large for the complex or the niche product, or it would be eventually competitive again like the normal one and the opportunities would be introducing?
See, the question is, you can look at something, doesn't mean that you'll deliver, no? The difference between looking at something and delivering it, right? So I think the guy who delivers is where the person is going to do well. And I think there's a lot of gap between delivery and, looking. So I think that's what's going to separate people who are successful or not. But coming back to what the gentleman said, and I want to reiterate it again, you need to do the niches, otherwise you will not succeed and get meaningful earnings growth. And I believe unless you do specialty, tough generics, I think the business has very little value. Again, it's my personal view. Everybody doesn't agree with me because obviously different people have different models. But in my personal view, if you're going to be in the generics business and you want to be a global player in the generics business, you got to do the niches and the hard-to-do generics. And sometimes the predictability of the launches will be difficult to judge, but then that's where the real value is.
Got it. Actually, my question is mainly regarding the your past history is always you finding out the gap and you targeting those gaps. So it would be like a similar gap you can be seeing in the future, or it will be narrowing down because of the competition?
I mean... Just coming back to your original question, I think, do you see more people doing it, therefore the opportunity is dwindling? No, I don't think so. There's enough opportunity. You just have to be patient. You got to spend the money. And I think there is an opportunity. I don't feel so negative. But thing is, see, the entry barrier for this money, the money that you're spending is also very large, right? I mean, I just said a few minutes ago, we have to spend $6 million or $8 million to get a global launch on one particular product on just on a clinical trial. I mean, these are the ones that you need to do, and I think that's where the real money is. And I think these products, surprisingly, does hold up. I mean, not all the time, every time, but the chance, mathematical probability of a success is much higher in these sort of products. And that's how you need to structure your business.
Got it. Thanks for answering.
Okay, thank you. Any follow-up?
The next question is from the line of Anmol Soni from SUG Life. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Anmol.
Please proceed with your question, Mr. Soni.
Yeah, sir, you have said on the call that you have booked around 50 crores of cost against one FTF. So what is the revenue contribution with regarding this?
I think this is regarding the supplier of the API. I think I've said that I will not answer that question. So, yeah. Thank you.
Sir, but what will be the revenue contribution?
I'm not answering that question, my friend. I'm sorry. I don't do a split of the products. We don't.
Okay. And
because you're just giving away where you're making money, I think, and how you're making money. I've been asked this question many times. I'm not answering the question. Okay.
And on the Revlimid, you have said that or 25% is being sold right now. So is it from the date of launch or is it from the calendar year or financial year?
From the date of launch.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ritika Agarwal from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. I had two questions. Firstly, on the API business, we've seen a very good growth on a QOQ basis, almost 70% growth from a 40-50 crore run rate to now 70 crore plus. What led to this kind of growth and what is the driver on what we are guiding of 15 to 20% growth going ahead in this business?
I think we have confirmed orders from our customers for our various products that are there from the division. So based on the guidance, I think we feel confident that we should be able to grow that business. And there were some delays in some supplies of one particular product. That's the reason why it got shifted to the Q4. I think that's the reason why there was a drop in Q3. But I think now we're more comfortable. I think we should do well.
So, and does API involve CDMO also, or is it a pure API supply?
It's pure. I don't believe in CDMO business because I think if you want to be an aggressive generic company, I think you can't do CDMO. I personally, I'm not a big fan of CDMO because I think the way it's, I mean, I'm a little harsh on my comment, but I tell you the reason for that also, because if you want to be an aggressive, successful generic company, you need to go after every patent. And if you're doing CDMO business for multinationals, you don't have the flexibility. I mean, there's other people who do that business and who have done well with it, but that's their strategy. But my strategy is to go after patents. In my personal view, I think it doesn't work. You can't play both sides. You got to choose a camp. So to answer your question, it's a straight API business. It's not CDMO.
Got it, sir. So, second question. Subsidiaries, we've seen a very good growth from 80 crore kind of run rate from last four quarters to now 117-118 crores. So, what led to this growth? Were there new launches this quarter? And again, we are expecting some 15-20% growth going ahead. Will it be led by new launches again?
Absolutely, because of new launches. I think we had some very good launches in Brazil. I think that made a lot of difference. And we won some good orders in Canada as well, some tenders as well. So the business looks consistent. And I think it's to answer your question, it is because of new launches, some new approvals, and some tender orders that we won in some countries. Okay.
So could you point out which are these launches that we are looking ahead, going ahead?
Generally, we generally say we don't give away the product because generally, see, I'll tell you why we don't give away products because sometimes the big ones we do mention. I mean, for example, in Brazil, I think Apixaban has been the biggest product that has done extremely well. But we don't give away the pipeline because it's for competitive reasons. Generally, you don't give away your portfolio, you know, so.
So that's helpful. Just last question, where are we in the domestic acquisition front? Anything that you can comment or anything? Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll be able to close something this year. Hopefully, I'll be able to close something. I mean, I'm saying that for the last 2 years, I know I've not delivered, so I'll be honest with you. So hopefully, we'll be able to get something this year. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question.
That's the last call, yeah? So
yes,
thank
sir.
You so much, everyone. Yeah, I appreciate
sir,
it.
Sir, can we take one more last question, please?
Okay, sir. No, one last call, yeah.
Yes, sir. The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from i.pms. Please go ahead.
Rajat, go ahead.
Yeah, with regards to our agri business, what's our strategy to grow this business over a 4-5 year time period, given the only product that we have, which is CTPR, may start seeing competition and even contribution may start coming down from here? So what's our overall strategy here?
No, I think CTPR is a good start. I mean, you need to understand CTPR it's like 15% of the whole agro business. So I think it's a very important launch. This sets up the base for us to launch other products. I think it's a very strategically important launch, that cannot be diminished. However, of course, I mean, you have to move past CTPR. We have a list of almost 6-7 products which we are working on, and all of them are first-time indigenized products. And we are not revealing the pipeline. I think all are under review in the at CAB. And I think we'll reveal in the next 12 months when we're coming closer to the launch. They're all very exciting products, all first time in India, indigenously produced. So I think I'm very excited. But generally what happens with these sort of products, I mean, I know we obviously as a public company, we have to disclose what we are doing. But you can't give away your pipeline because that kind of, you know, gives people a heads up, and I think you don't want to do that. But when the right time comes, we'll reveal the pipeline. But to answer your question, we have a list of about 5-6 products that we expect to launch in the next 2 years based on the success. Some of them are litigation-driven, some are not. So I think it depends. It's a mix of both. But I think we are very, very bullish about the opportunity there. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
So just one small.
Yeah, please. Okay, go ahead.
In terms of market size, for these molecules, what is the range for the smallest and the largest?
I think we are looking at ranges between 50 crores to 400 crores.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you again. Thank you so much. Thanks for arranging everything, Kunal. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you all. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Kunal?
As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh JPM for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you all. Again, I appreciate all your questions. As always, you know, the questions and the recordings will be shared. These would be available shortly. So thank you all and have a good day.
Thank you very much, sir. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.